This is 89.9 KUNM and KUNM HD, Albuquerque, Santa Fe. Live from the University of New Mexico, we're also broadcasting on KRRT 90.9 Arroyo Seco Taos, KRRE 91.9 Las Vegas, KRAR 91.9 Española, and KBOM 88.7 Socorro. Music playlists, live streaming, and more online at KUNM.org.
And stay tuned, because just coming in Espejos de Aztlán, bullying in schools. How does it happen? Who is at risk? And more we'll discuss in a panel right after Stardate.
El Colectivo Raíces presenta su programa
Espejos de Aztlán.
Información,
arte,
cultura.
Bienvenidos.
How does bullying happen in schools, or who is at risk? How does it affect the Latino and Hispanic community? What are the resources that parents and children have in New Mexico to respond to bullying? These are the questions that today we are going to try to highlight during our Espejos de Aztlán show with a panel of social workers and counselors, Francesca Bañuelos, Barbara Brandon, and Dr. Dan Giuliano. They'll share with us their wisdom this evening. And for Espejos de Aztlán, Cristina Bachín. ¿Cómo se produce el acoso, la intimidación y el abuso en las escuelas? ¿Quiénes están más expuestos al riesgo de ser acosados? ¿Y cómo afecta este comportamiento a la comunidad latina? Algunos de estos temas son los temas que vamos a conversar hoy con un panel de trabajadores sociales y terapeutas particularmente vinculados a escuelas. Y para ustedes hoy conduce Espejos de Aztlán, Cristina Bachín. Y bienvenidos, Francesca Bañuelos, Bárbara Brandon y Dr. Dan Giuliano a nuestro programa de hoy.
Muchas gracias. Aquí estamos para a ver si le damos una información a las personas que nos escuchan.
Claro que sí. Bienvenido, Dr. Dan Giuliano, a nuestro programa.
Thank you for having me here, Cristina, and I just want to give a quick shout out to the staff and students at Edward Gonzalez Elementary School. See
you tomorrow morning. Yes, you are in the Edward Gonzalez Elementary School, isn't it?
Yes, a wonderful school.
Absolutely, I know Edward Gonzalez as well.
Wonderful.
And Barbara Brandon, thank you so much for coming today. What's the school where you are working today?
I'm now at Truman Middle School in the southwest part of Albuquerque.
Francesca, you have been working for a long time around this topic as a licensed professional clinical counselor and family counselor in schools for how long?
A little bit over 12 years.
Wow, wow. And Dr. Giuliano is part of the Edward Gonzalez Elementary School,
yes.
a school counselor. They are the unique, only one.
Yes, right. Yeah, we have about 650 students.
Wow. We're going to talk about that. But first, we want to share with our listeners just a dramatization about this topic. And in this case, we are counting with the dramatization of two amazing contributors to this show, who are Ariana Elena Aguirre, student at the Albuquerque Institute for Math and Science, and Adam Benito Aguirre, student attending Tierra Adentro Flamenco Arts Charter School. Let's listen to their dramatization about a possible situation regarding this topic.
I was bullied pretty badly in school. There was one kid in particular who would try to make me feel inferior in every way he knew how. He would throw stuff at me constantly, flick me in the head, punch me, wipe whatever he picked out of his nose on my shirt, call me ugly and stupid, mock me, and of course tell me he would beat me up if I ever fought back. It was like his daily mission. And it was my daily mission just to get through the day. It made my world feel very small, because it was my sole focus, just surviving. Everything else just fell by the wayside. Unfortunately, that included any form of social life. So not only was my world tiny, it was very lonely.
Is this a situation we can describe or we can highlight as a bullying situation in schools? that yes. the one that we were listening by in this dramatization?
Yes, it is. Very typical. Exactly like that.
Exactly like that. Mm-hmm. And for our listeners, how would you describe for them a bullying situation for them to understand if their child is bullied or if he's a bully?
Well, first, Christina, I think it's really important to distinguish between a conflict and bullying. You know, normal conflict is where there's equal power. It happens occasionally. It might be accidental. There's no seeking of power or attention, and there's remorse. And, you know, they try to solve the problem. That goes along with the conflict. Bullying is when someone uses his or her power to intentionally hurt somebody over and over again, and there's no remorse, and they don't try, they don't say sorry, they don't try to fix it. So that's the line between a conflict that we all go through, you know, in life, and bullying where it happens repeatedly.
And who are at risk in this? Who is at risk? Is there a population that we can say is more at risk than others?
I would say that anyone who's different is at risk. I work with kids in special education, and so they're often bullied because they're a little different. They may not speak as well as another student, or certainly students who have mental illness problems are different and are ridiculed by others, and it happens day after day that they don't feel comfortable. And research has shown that students' emotional and social health definitely has an impact on how they do academically.
Another thing that if the student is different in color, in size, if he's a loner, if he's quiet, all those are targets that other people, that other students pick on.
Yes, and I talk to the students in the classroom, and we talk about how we're all different, you know, different religion, different culture, different language, different sizes and shapes, and and then I say, look around the classroom. I say, does anybody look the same here? No, but yet bullies pick on us because we are different. You know, like I said, if we have a disability, even that. And yet the truth of it is we're all different, at least on the outside.
Does it have some particular importance, the social nets in the bullying? Do we have cyberbullying or something like that in our schools in New Mexico?
Yes, if I may. I talk to them also about, I pick up my phone and I say, can you be bullied by this? And they say, yes. And I show them a computer. Can you be bullied by this? Yes. And I tell them everything that we do on our phone and everything we do on the computer, I tell them is public and permanent. So even though they might bully somebody, cyberbully through the phone and then delete it or on the computer and delete it, they think they're safe now. They're not. There's a record of that, and I tell them it's not smart to bully, cyberbully anybody, and it's not smart to bully anybody, period. But if they choose to cyberbully somebody, they're going to get caught.
The cyberbullying, does it become more aggressive than the physical and emotional bullying in the perimeter of the school?
Well, students are not supposed to have cell phones at school.
So. I know.
So a lot of the cyberbullying takes place outside of school, but it definitely affects the students who then come to school the next day and they know this has happened and they're devastated and they can't focus in class because their world has been blown apart.
We're going to listen another very short segment of a dramatization about being bullied or victims of bullying or children who are bullying others.
It's not like we beat her up or anything. We put up a website with some jokes. That's all they were, jokes. We never thought people would believe this stuff, or start spreading it around, or spray paint her car. We didn't do that. Don't blame us. I don't even know how it got started, to tell you the truth. It's just like, I don't know. Someone got annoyed at her, and someone else made a few jokes. And then someone, maybe me, I'm not saying it wasn't, I just don't remember, said it would be funny to put the jokes up online.
It was second grade. My mom was ill. She was in the hospital for 3 months. My dad left me when I was born, so I had no one to look after me. Until my grandma kept me, and then my auntie. But I missed her a lot, so when I went to school, I said nothing, and I was mostly crying nonstop. The kids were laughing at me because they thought I was a crybaby. Eventually, my mom got out of the hospital. She had a boy during her visit. Then I had a brother, but it didn't go so well. My brother was sick because my mom was sick. He was in the NICU, the baby hospital, for 3 weeks. He couldn't breathe when he got out of my mom's stomach. And then when I got to school, people were making me feel bad when they said, "Your brother's gonna die. Your brother's gonna die," over and over. And to this day in middle school, I'm still bullied. And I can only say this, don't let people get in your head because something about you or some issues you might have at that moment.
What do you think about this particular dramatization of scripts that are based on testimonies?
You know, it's very easy to tell the child, don't pay attention, don't listen to them, it's not serious, but it is very serious. And it's really important that they do tell their parents, and the parents to pay attention to them, or a teacher, or a counselor, somebody that can really listen to them.
That's what is called a responsible adult, or yes, somebody to talk with?
Yes.
Yeah, and I tell the students that no one is born a bully. It's a choice that people make along their life path, along their life journey, and that actually it's a bad choice. And if they choose to make that choice, I tell them that there are consequences. And the consequences for bullying, the research shows, is that a person who chooses to be a bully is more likely to drink, they're more likely to smoke, they're more likely to do drugs, they're more likely to fail in school, they're more likely to be arrested, and they're more likely to go to jail and to prison. And I tell them, I said, okay, raise your hand if you want to choose this kind of life, and nobody raises their hand. I said, good, because life is tough enough as it is without choosing to be a bully and make life harder for themselves and for others.
What would you tell to the parents? Let's begin by that, to the parents. If they think that there might be some symptoms that their child is bullied or their child is a bully, what can they do? I would like to know, what does New Mexico as a state gives as tools for students, children, families, and the schools by themselves? You know a lot about this. You have a very long experience. Just to highlight for our listeners that if you're just tuning in, we are with our guest, Francesca Bañuelos, licensed professional clinic and counselor, family counseling schools for more than 12 years, with Barbara Brandon, social worker at the Truman School, and Dr. Dan Giuliano, Dr. Dan, as usually is known, PhD in Family Studies and School Counselor at Edward Gonzalez Elementary School. And we're talking about bullying in schools. How can we describe it, and particularly what to do with that? So going back to our question is, are there any tools? First of all, just a family, parents, if they see, they feel that something difficult is going on with their children in both sides, because in this case you were talking about the bully person by himself or herself, and also on the side of the victim. What can the family do in this situation?
Well, first of all, some signs that a child might be being bullied might be headaches or sleeping problems or stomach aches. Sometimes kids are really sad and withdraw. So if a parent sees behavioral changes like that, it's good to talk to the child and see what's going on, what's happening. I always ask students, is anyone bothering you, if they are starting to have behavior that's not so good? And then to really listen, like Francesca said, And then for the parent to go to the school and talk to the school counselor or school social worker and report what's going on, because at Truman Middle School we have zero tolerance for bullying, and it absolutely will be addressed. Kids can't get away with that because we want our school to be safe and for kids to feel like they belong and that they're welcome at the school. So one thing that a really good resource that we have in New Mexico is a website that is abqsafeschools.org. And there are lots of different, there are like video clips that kids and parents can look at, and different types of bullying, like cyberbullying that you talked about, sexting, and kids can find out more about that, and parents have resources that they can call for their child if that's occurring. And another really good resource is, it's a called Breaking the Silence New Mexico, that is through Compassionate Touch Network. This is a beautiful program that trains volunteers to go in the school and talk about mental illness with students and begin to introduce that subject and teach them that it's not something a student would choose. Just like you wouldn't make fun of someone who has cancer or diabetes, it makes no sense to make fun of someone who has a mental illness and start educating children about that, because those kids are often bullied.
You know, another sign when this is happening is when children do not want to go to school.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One time I had a case where this child wanted to die, and the parents didn't know why. So they brought him, the family came to me, and I was working with them, and finally the child, when he was able to trust me, said that somebody was really bothering him, and they were going to, and he wanted to just die. So once he told that to the parents, then the parents went to the school, met with the other family, and that problem was resolved. And the child then started going back to school.
First of all, congratulations, Francesca, for solving that case. I know you have been, Francesca, tú has estado muchas veces con las familias latinas y son las familias latinas, han sido las familias latinas parte de tu, casi toda tu vida en cuanto a este tema. Las familias latinas, ¿qué es lo que tienen que enfrentar más o qué recursos tienen las familias latinas cuando se encuentran en esta situación? Y para esto distingamos las familias de inmigrantes respecto a las familias que son hispanos de hace mucho tiempo aquí en Nuevo México. ¿Qué recursos tienen? ¿Qué pueden hacer los papás y mamás que están escuchando aquí, que te están escuchando, Francesca? ¿Qué es lo que pueden hacer si se encuentran en una situación así?
Cristina, primero tienen que saber que tienen derechos, que tienen igual derechos que cualquier otra persona en la escuela, y que ellos pueden ir a reportar, hablar, y si ellos no hablan inglés o necesitan a alguien que los apoye, lleven a alguien que traduzca para ellos, y reportar inmediatamente, tomarlo muy en serio, porque el acoso es algo que permanece en el niño para toda su vida y le afecta. Entonces, estas familias deben de ir inmediatamente a la escuela y reportar, decir lo que está pasando y tratar de entrevistar o conocer la otra familia que está molestando a su niño o a su niña.
No importa cuál es el estatus ciudadano de esta familia, ¿verdad?
No importa. Todo
Todos
el niño
tienen
que
derechos.
Está en la escuela tiene los mismos derechos y tiene las mismas facilidades para que le ayuden y para que lo escuchen.
Dr. Dan Giuliani, yeah. I know. I like your last name.
Thank you.
We are talking in New Mexico about this topic. There are lots of situations in the country. I have been reading surveys around the country. But what's the situation in New Mexico? I read that in your school you are the only counselor in this Edward Gonzalez Elementary School attending 650 or 45 children.
Yes.
Is that the situation, that it's a good ratio between counselors and children? I guess you might be overwhelmed with such a population.
Well, the official ratio, if you want to know that, is one counselor per 250 students. So that's
it should
how,
be.
That's how it should be. But unfortunately, it's not quite that way. But, you know, as I used to work with Barbara, she was at our school, and Francesca, we worked together. And, you know, we did a good job of addressing whatever came to us. And we took care of, you know, we helped our students the best we could. And I think we're still doing that. And I just want to make sure that we address the one issue, which is the bystander. And it's also called sometimes the upstander, that the power of the bystander in schools is should not be overlooked.
What is the bystander?
The bystander is basically anyone who is standing by watching someone get bullied, you know, and they have incredible power and influence if they choose to step in and help. Now, that's not always easy to do, and so I do a little activity with the kids in the classroom where I have a target, the bystander, and a pretend bully, and the pretend bully's job is to touch the target, and they have to get by the bystander. And when there's one bystander, they can usually do that. Then we have two bystanders, and they can still get by and touch the target. Then three, and they can get. Then I say, okay, how about the whole class? Then the whole class surrounds the target, and the bully or pretend bully is job is to touch the target, and they can't do it because the whole class or all the bystanders united and work together as a team, as a community, as a group, and they are incredibly powerful when they get together like that. And the target feels very secure because they know they're safe, and the bully feels very weak now because they can't hurt that person anymore.
What do you think about New Mexico, a state? Does it have enough laws, tools to handle these situations?
Well, of course, I think we need lots more mental health services in New Mexico to help with counseling for students, programs in the schools, because, as you know, we just have a lot of poverty in New Mexico.
Yeah, you might not. We are, New Mexico is in the number 49th as a state regarding well-being and of children.
But one good thing that New Mexico does have are school social workers. Not every state has that. So that's one thing that New Mexico is doing to give these services to kids who need it.
And if I may, real quick, if I may say, Barbara Brennan is an incredible social worker,
and
she's
that.
The queen of resources. So if you need resources, see her at Truman Middle School.
And we are going.
Some more work.
And Francesca, do you want to highlight something about
this? I
just
want to say that the schools are very serious in taking care of bullying. Mm-hmm. You know, they really do not tolerate it anymore, which is very good for the parents.
It's quite a new topic at the same time. Mm-hmm. Not new phenomenon, but it's a new topic in the legal side and in trying to focus also in the surveys and everything. I want to thank you all, Francesca Bañuelos, Barbara Brandon, Dr. Dan Giuliano, and particularly to Adam Aguirre for today's production and the production of the dramatized segments, on which Ariana Elena Aguirre, student at the Albuquerque Institute for Math and Science, she dramatized some of them, and Adam Benito Aguirre, student attending Tierra Adentro Flamenco Arts Charter School. He also played the guitar and rehearsed and did all these voices for just highlight to our listeners about this topic. I want to thank you all. Thank you, Adam, for today's engineering and all the production for the show. Thank you all.
Thank you, Christina,
very much
for having us.